Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In a perfect world, the court system examines facts and determines guilt or innocence. But this is not a perfect world. After Jesus was arrested, he went before several so-called courts in rapid succession. He did it for one reason, that he might give his life for us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, the third of five messages on For Us, the dramatic events marking the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, Erwin Lutzer speaks on Jesus on Trial for Us.
As you may know, this is part of a series of messages simply entitled For Us. Jesus in agony for us, Jesus betrayed for us, and Jesus on trial for us. Just yesterday, I spoke to a friend of mine, and he has been going through a very difficult time of litigation. He believes that his company was unfair to him, that they broke a promise, that he has money coming to him that is not coming to him, at least until now. He's a man who is struggling with debts and struggling with all kinds of things as the result of being wronged. Let me ask you something. What happens when we are wronged? What happens when people lie on the witness stand? What happens when a member of a family chisels out someone else, a relative, and takes money that they themselves should have? How do we relate to injustice? That's today's topic. Because you remember, Jesus was tried unjustly, as we shall see in just a few moments. And it's not just that I hope to expound on the six trials of Jesus and the injustice that he endured, but rather I want to answer another question, and that is, what do we learn from the way in which Jesus reacted to injustice? What do we learn for ourselves, and how does injustice fit into the bigger picture of God's purposes? So if you've ever been treated unjustly, this message is for you. And if you have sometimes treated someone else unjustly, this message is for you as well, hopefully, to bring you to repentance. Because all of us hurt one another, don't we? The amazing thing is, Jesus went through this series of trials in about 12 hours. The upper room discourse had been finished, and Jesus goes into the garden, and last time we stressed the way in which Judas betrayed him, and then he is led off to a series of trials, and he's crucified the next day. I'm going to ask you to turn to a passage of Scripture, but let's do that in a few moments. First of all, I want us to simply walk through these trials and point out what they were like. In many instances, I shall simply read the Bible, and you yourself will pick up on how unjustly Jesus was tried by the courts of his day. The first trial was actually before Annas, and I'm reading from the book of John. You need not turn to it. The Bible says, "So the band of soldiers and their captain and officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And first they led him to Annas, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was high priest that year." Actually, both are spoken of here in the text as being high priests. But Annas was the older man, and Caiaphas was his son-in-law. So Jesus is dragged off to him, and the high priest, that's Annas, then questioned Jesus about his disciples, about his teaching. Jesus answered him, I've always spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I've said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said was wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why are you hitting me?" Now, what about that for a trial? Takes place at night. The Jewish trials were not to take place at night. And the three Jewish trials that we're going to talk about took place at that time. They were supposed to be tried in daylight. You have Jesus here. The judge is acting as a prosecutor. There's violence against the accused. The man standing next to Jesus slaps him. And there are no witnesses, no one to contradict what Jesus has just said. In other words, I'm teaching openly. Why don't you bring witnesses and hear through their mouths what I said? Well, after that, the Bible says that Annas took him and gave him to the Sanhedrin, which then was under the control of his son-in-law, Caiaphas. So with that in mind, I turn to another text. This one happens to be there in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26. And you'll notice in verse 57, we read, they seized Jesus. They led him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. Now the chief priests, verse 59, and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though some false witnesses did come forward. At last two came forward and said, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. That's a very interesting, because Jesus did say something like that. He did say, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days, but he was talking about the temple of his body, and they related to the temple, the great Herodian temple that had been built, and so they take something that is true and they give it a half turn, they twist it in such a way that it can be used against Jesus. But this was false testimony. And the high priest stood up and said, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. The accused was not to be put under witness for himself under oath. But Jesus said to him, you have said so. But I tell you that from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Now that's remarkable. What Jesus is really saying is, you know, you're trying me now and you're bringing all these witnesses, but the day is going to come when I'm going to return and you're going to be accountable to me. That day is coming. Then the high priest tore his robes and says, he's uttered blasphemy. What further need do we have? You've heard the blasphemy. What is your judgment? And everybody answered, he deserves death. Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you the Christ. Who is it that struck you? Did Jesus get justice in this trial? I don't think so. Seeking false testimony, seeking reason against him, twisting what he had to say, slapping him and mocking him. And there's no evidence that the whole Sanhedrin even voted on whether he was guilty. Well, there's a third trial, and that is before the Sanhedrin again. And this now is in Luke chapter 22. And that's the passage you can turn to in your Bibles. Luke chapter 22, if you're using a Bible there in the pew, it will be 883, 883. Luke chapter 22, because the rest of the trials are in this particular chapter and the chapter that follows. All right, the whole council now gathers together. This is verse 66. When the day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, this is Luke 22, 66, they gathered together both the chief priests and the scribes, and they led him away to their council and said, if you are the Christ, tell us. He said, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. Jesus is saying something here. He's saying, in effect, look, because you're prejudiced, it really doesn't matter what I say. And furthermore, if I began to ask you questions that would lead you to the truth as to who I am, you wouldn't answer anyway. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. Again, Jesus is reminding them for a second time that I am going to be returning, and at that time, I will be your judge. And what does the text say? They all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We've heard it from his own lips." And again, Jesus is reviled, and his testimony is taken and twisted, and there is no impartial hearing of all of the evidence against him. Now, keep in mind that these were three Jewish trials, all of them conducted very rapidly, all of them conducted, some without witnesses, some with false witnesses, all of them involving Jesus Christ being humiliated and beaten and slapped. But now they have to turn him over to the Romans to get him put to death. So now we come to the Roman trials. And just like the Jewish trials have three phases, in the very same way, the Roman trials also have three phases. Now we have to ask the question, will Jesus finally get justice with the Roman authorities? So, chapter 23 of Luke now. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar." Now, that's very interesting. Did Jesus ever say that you should not give tribute to Caesar? The answer is no. In fact, he said the opposite. When they brought him a coin and they said, "Should we give tribute to Caesar?" Jesus says, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God." But when you want to have a man condemned, facts do not matter. Rationality does not matter. A fair trial does not matter. What you need to do is to get people to say whatever they want to say to get this man where you want him to be.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and perhaps you've gone through an experience like that, where facts simply did not matter. Maybe it was in a trial in a courtroom, maybe it was in personal conversation, or your adversaries who disliked you, and all truth is taken and it is turned a half turn, so that no matter what you say, the outcome remains unchanged in the mind of the hearer. I've had that experience. Jesus experienced that too. But we delight in the fact that this is not the last of the trials, because eventually Jesus is going to be vindicated, and in eternity it will be seen that this trial was a sham. Could I encourage you? The Bible says that Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he uttered no threats, but kept committing himself unto him who judges righteously. My friend today, isn't it wonderful for us to commit our case to the Supreme Court?
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Jesus Betrayed for Us, the third message in a series marking the events of the last week of Jesus' life on earth. Next time, more about the civil case against Jesus. For Us is a five-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.